Hello friends, it's Chris Daly here, and I'm always fascinated to be able to talk to a Jamaican making a positive difference. This evening, it's my dear pleasure to introduce Denise Maxwell, a pioneering internet entrepreneur who's driving Caribbean TV world and has a monthly e-zine for the Jamaican community in Chicago. She is a fascinating guest she'll be interviewing tonight. Denise, take it away.
Oh, thank you, Chris. This evening we have a treat to celebrate the Jamaica of the yesteryear. Margaret Marshall was born in Kingston, Jamaica. She served in the British Army in the Royal Nursing Corps, earned her BS from NYU, and has had a successful career in marketing as a marketing trainer and consultant. In 1986, Marshall was recognized in the who's who of American women. She raised two sons, one daughter, and is now a grandmother of three who are the pride and joy of her life. She describes herself as a passionate senior, still vibrant and passionate about her work. One of her current goals is to help seniors live their passion before they leave this planet. Now that Margaret has retired, she's started a backyard lavish online in order to leave a living legacy about growing up in Jamaica before independence. Welcome, Margaret.
Hello there.
Oh, we're
Thank
so
you.
Happy to have you today. Tell us a little about you and your Jamaican roots.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I've been here for such a long time, and in spite of that, I will talk to someone, and they say, where are you from? And I always say, why do you ask? Because, you know, I don't think I sound different. But that's just to tell you how rooted I am in being a Jamaican.
Mm. What brought you to the U.S.?
Well, I came here to go to college.
Oh, I see.
So that's what brought me here.
Oh, I see. When you graduated from high school and you came up.
Right. Well, actually, I was in the Army before I came here, and I had a chance to go to England, to go to London, to complete my education, or to come to America. And I chose to come to America. Most of my friends and colleagues went to England, but I came here.
Well, it's what they say, the road less traveled has made all the difference. You've heard of that poem?
Oh, of course I have. Yes.
So you've
That's
been
one of the things that I'm always on the road less traveled. I have the bruises to prove it.
Yeah, a trailblazer. You've been recognized as who's who in America. What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, actually, to be very frank with you, not much. Because, you know, it's just, to me, what means more to me is what I have done over my life to enlarge somebody else's life or somebody else's career. Or what I've done for my community or my friends or my family. That's really what's more important. I just mentioned that there, but between you and I, some of my friends don't even know.
You
know what I mean?
It was
more career-driven at the time because I was really at the top of my game. At one time in my career, I was a stockbroker and sold insurance. And I was really on top of my game, you know, for a few years there. And that was when that came forth.
I see.
But I have had such a colorful life that, you know, that's just one little thing.
It's interesting you should say that you've had a variety of careers. Folks today need to plan for 10 to 12 career changes. What advice would you have in managing career changes?
Well, to me, the first thing is to know when you are on top of your game and there's no more space to go any further, either because it doesn't exist in where you are or you are not ready to go to the next step. Because I believe through your whole life, you should always be growing. And I remember when I did Memory Gems on my show, this one always sticks with me. Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better best.
Ah.
So for me, when I knew I was at my best, I thought I got bored.
Yeah.
Well, and I wanted to do another best thing, you know, so I would start at the good and then go up to the best.
It's kind of like the saying, when you're green, you grow, and when you're ripe, you spoil. So you got to stay green to keep
That's
growing.
That's right. You're so right, and I never heard that one before.
You see yourself as a passionate senior. There is a stereotype that seniors live in a doctor's office. Speak to us about enjoying your golden years.
Oh, honey, and I could be living in the doctor's office if I chose to. I could be complaining about all the things that are going south, and that's wrong with me. But this show is not about that, because I'm saying that to say, although I sound very bright, vibrant and, you know, positive and joyous, I do have quite a few medical challenges. Quite a few. But I think that what has kept me, you know, with my passion always important to me is your state of mind. A lot of people spend more time at taking care of their bodies and don't do anything for their mind.
And the most important thing is that to keep the mind going, because the mind's going, the body will follow.
You know that's right, honey. And as I say, you know, a lot of people do not believe or do not spend enough time and money in personal development. And you should always involved in personal development. Always, 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 always. And I think that would be my advice for the people in careers and their changes and go for the careers that you really feel in your heart. It's not about the money, but what stimulates you, what, you know, keeps you up at night because you're so excited about it.
Right.
What drives you?
Yeah.
Not keeps you up at night because you feel overworked, but what keeps you up at night for the joy of doing it.
Right. You are focused on keeping alive the memories of pre-independence Jamaica. Why is this period so significant to you?
Well, may I just tell you how it all came about?
Mm-hmm.
About 2 years ago, I had one of my big medical boo-hoos when I was informed that an implant that I have was defective and they could not fix it. Or it was not suggested that you even try. I decided to take my first trip to Europe. I'd never been to Europe. I've traveled all over the United States and Canada and a lot of the Caribbean, some of the Caribbean cities. But I had not gone to Europe. So I decided to go with my girlfriend on a trip to Europe. I love cruising, so I decided it would be a cruise. However, I wanted to stay in one city and be part of, you know, the community, sort of. So I decided that I would stay in a bed and breakfast. I chose Madrid, and my girlfriend and I flew to Madrid, and I stayed with a family that were seniors. And I noticed that Madrid is... Have you ever been to Madrid?
No.
Oh, I mean, it's just a wonderful place. The energy, number one, is wonderful. And they have retained, you know, a lot of their art, both the structural art and, you know, the paintings and the museums and their customs.
Mm-hmm.
Because the family I stayed with were in their 70s and they had grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And they did things traditionally that the whole family was participating. And as I looked, as I moved around the community, I noticed that keeping their traditions seemed to be very important to them. And after I flew into Barcelona and I went on the cruise and I came back, and those people taught me a lot about the internet. They were older people and they told me about Skype and different things, and I was so fascinated because at that time I wasn't that involved with the internet.
But that just goes to show you that sometimes you have to leave a place to come back and appreciate where you've been.
Definitely. You know? And I came back and I got online to see if there was any information that I could relate to, you know, about things that happened when I was growing up, because I left Jamaica in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
And there really wasn't much. There was not much at all. And my oldest grandchild is going to be 7. And already, you know, the kids nowadays are using the internet and games and all of that. And I know that the method of communication that he will be using will be getting his information online. So I said, you know, what is he going to find out about me and how I grew up? And incidentally, I'm the oldest of my family. My mother was the eldest of all her sisters. And I'm the eldest of all my cousins. I don't have any sisters or brothers. So any information I have that my younger cousins and family don't have will go with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and because my house burnt down about 2 years before I took that trip, or a year before I took that trip. So all of my documentation in terms of pictures and anything that I had that related to my past just went up in smoke. That's how fast it can happen. And it included some things that I had from my mother, some things that she had from her mother, and I realized that I had nothing that would, you know, say anything about my past.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I went online, and there wasn't much information about, you know, the period I grew up in.
Mm.
So I got this idea of trying to encourage seniors to tell their story, you know, before they leave the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And to put it in a format that is being used now by the younger generation, and we know is the future, which is the internet.
Right.
Because just like how I was trying to preserve a lot of things, but, you know, through the fire, I lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what sort of gave me the idea and drove the passion. Because there is a lot of information about the now Jamaica and what's going on now. You know, they're doing a very good job of documenting everything.
For the now. Yeah.
Right. But there is not really a lot of information about, not a lot of information. I mean, living stories. From lived the past.
So who are the personalities that dominated the culture during your formative years?
Oh, well, my mentor and my very favorite person was Norman Washington Manley.
Mm-hmm.
I just really, really admired him. I loved his eloquence, you know. He was my mentor. As a matter of fact, when I came here, I wanted to go into law. You know, I changed afterwards. But I was really, really very fascinated with him.
I see. Oh. Miss Lou's birthday would have been today, September 6th.
Uh-huh.
What are your fond memories of her?
Oh, wow, yes. You know, she was born in the period of my mother. I think my mother was born 1912.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Miss Lou was born 1919, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as growing up as a young person in Jamaica in those days, the pantomime was the biggest treat, and it was always held around Christmas time. And for me, the most entertaining part of the pantomime or anything that was going on around holidays would be Miss Lou. Because in the days that I grew up, you know, in the 30s and 40s, the patois was sort of a treat. you know, you didn't.
You didn't do it in school, in front of your parents or
right.
Parents
as a matter of
school.
Fact,
you had to do it just
you
among
would
your
be
friends.
Expected, you would be expected to speak the Queen's English.
Mm-hmm.
And what really intrigued me with I loved Miss Lou is her passion, her energy. You know, when she recited her poems, when you saw her, have you ever seen her in live concert?
Yeah, actually, my very first play, and it was interesting that all that occurred is, I was born in Kingston, but I grew up in Montego Bay, and the week that I was going to be coming to the States, this is when I was a child, and so I was in Kingston with my family, just kind of getting ready to come to the States, and that particular Saturday evening, they had a play at some state, you know, I was a child, so I don't know where it was, but that is where I first saw Miss Lou live, because she used to have a show called Ring-a-Ding.
Yes.
Saturday
uh-huh.
morning.
Uh-huh.
Saturday morning I would see that, but I just remember that particular Saturday I had a double dose, because we had Ring-a-Ding in the morning, and then in that evening, yeah, I know it was, I remember it being evening, and I saw for the first time in my entire life, I saw a play. We went to some theater. It was like live theater, and Miss Lou was performing. Randy Williams, he was performing.
So
I don't remember the play per se, but I remember it because it was Miss Lou, and it was my first time in my entire life seeing live theater. So just the impact of being in the theater, the people are live in front of me. You know, it was just a real. And I remember being in the balcony. Wherever it was. So the whole thing, it was such an excitement, you know. Can you imagine a little 6-year-old senior?
Oh, yes. You remember? Yes. And I think it was the same thing with me. Because, you know, we had movies, you know, we always had whatever the American movies were at the time when I was growing up. And going to the movie, especially if you lived in Kingston, you went to Carib, to matinee. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing. But live theater would be Miss Lou and the pantomime. You know what I mean?
Right.
And her energy and her passion, I mean, really, really resonated with me. So she was one of my favorite persons.
I think it's very important to continue to have live theater, whether it's because think about it. I mean, I was a child, and I remember that experience. That was my first live theater. And it's unfortunate that in many of the inner cities, whether it's the U.S. and Jamaica, one of the first things they cut out is fine arts.
Right.
And a lot of children are not being exposed to that, which is an unfortunate thing because it's important to see live theater. And more importantly, it's important to see you in that theater, right? Because I'm seeing me acted out in front of me. And then I remember, like you said, we would go see movies. They would take me along to see a movie. And it was during that era that the movie The Harder They Come was out. And I remember how Jamaicans were so enamored, you know, from my understanding, you know, like when you read about it later on, it said this is like one of the first times they're seeing themselves.
Right, definitely.
You know, on a big screen. So it's very important to see yourself the way it resonates. The jokes resonate. The cultural idiosyncrasies resonate. And then you just really appreciate that. Yeah. So Miss Lewis definitely made an impact on me. Any other personalities you recall that made an impact on you?
Well, actually, I was fortunate enough to be one of the early dancers with Ivy Baxter. Actually, I was in a performance that we had put on for Princess Margaret when the Queen was crowned after her father died. And Queen Elizabeth was crowned. They had a regatta. That's what it was called, which is like a special thingy.
Event.
And Princess Margaret came to Jamaica. And so we put on this special cultural dance for her. And I was one of the Ivy Baxter dancers.
Really? That's wonderful.
Yes,
I learned about her and the things that she did. She was a trailblazer, too.
Oh, yes, because, you know, she was doing that creative dancing. We were doing
right.
that dancing long before it was popular here, especially among people of color.
Right, folk dancing.
Yes, right.
And I learned about it. So women have been a force in retaining a culture. How can we leave a legacy of our experience for those who follow us?
Well, I think is having it recorded. You know, what one of the shows that I did on Block Talk Radio, my co-host brought it to my attention that, you know, Marcus Garvey or his wife didn't write about their lives and their experiences. Their lives and their experiences had to be put together by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it is so important, especially the things that we think impact us in a positive way
mm-hmm.
and had some meaning to us to help propel us to success or
yeah.
overcome. I think it is important to share that
right.
For the next generation. I think it's very important. You know, on the show I did last week, I don't know if you were listening, but Maxine, the guest, who is a poet,
yes.
talked about, I asked her, you know, one of those questions are, how did she start? And it was under severe stress when she really realized that she could write. So my point is, by leaving stories like that, it can serve as encouragement for the next generation that they know that things are not always easy. I mean, I know we live in the whole world now, you push a button and everything happens. You know, that would be the feeling. It's not happening fast enough, quickly enough.
Yeah.
But by leaving our stories of, you know, what helped us move through whatever difficulty, you know, how we overcame, who were our mentors, who were our heroes, who did we want to emulate, you know, I think those are the things that will be helpful.
Yes. So what can we expect from you in the near future?
Oh, well, actually, my hope would be that more Jamaicans, but the people from all cultures that are in my age group would, you know that we have to pass the torch. We have to, you know, a lot of people complain about the kids. Now, even in my family, I had a dear aunt who, when I was growing up, you know, she was, you know, someone I looked up to, and, you know, you always think the people you're looking up to are perfect. We know no one is perfect. But I remember when I would, as I became an adult, and she grew older, and I would ask her questions about her past,
mm-hmm.
she would not necessarily be anxious to share it with me.
Yes, I think it's a cultural thing, because
right.
I find that to be the case with the older people in my family.
Mm-hmm. They don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, because, like, let's say I wanted to write about, I'm a novelist, but I'm in
right.
my head anyway. No, in my head. I'm a novelist in my head. But
that's,
I mean, I haven't published. And so I wanted to write a novel about the Kendall crash and the impact of the community and the people who had access to that information, you know, like how they were feeling or things mm-hmm. of that nature, just to kind of get a feeling of how people were going through. They were a bit reluctant. They didn't want to do that. So it's good to hear that you are very open and embracing of sharing your your tremendous experience of Jamaican culture, and we definitely appreciate you spending some quality time with us. So before we leave, Chris, would you like to, do you have any questions for our distinguished guests?
Well, I'm just encouraged that you blaze the trail and you continue to blaze the trail and to encourage seniors to actually capture the important memories of life to leave that kind of legacy. We cannot do without stories like that, and I'm so thankful and grateful that you were able to spend some time with us and to thus encourage us and encourage other seniors to actually capture that element. And I hope they'll get to tune into Blog Talk, your Blog Talk Radio, and get inspired like we have been.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and I appreciate you having me on your show.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage all the young people to start asking the older people, the seniors, you know, pump it out of them. You know, ask them what they're passionate about. I mean, and perhaps that will get them into thinking to become more passionate about leaving a legacy. So you've got your work cut out for you, too.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, we've got a lot to do. To learn more about Chris Daly's blog, visit Jamaicans.com, and then you can click Me Thinking. We say it in a patois today. Me Thinking.
Right.
And you can You hear his blog. You can read about his blog, or you can visit his website at yardgenius.com to learn more about Jamaican Diaspora's blog, the radio show, the TV show. Visit jamaicandiaspora.com. And to learn more about Margaret and listen to her show, it's her weekly show. It comes on Wednesday. Go to Backyard Labrish, and then you can learn more about that interactive website and listen to her radio show. Visit backyardlabrish.com. Margaret, it's been a pleasure, and we appreciate you spending a lot of time giving us some insight on what it was pre-Jamaican independence, and we wish you the very best.
Oh, I appreciate you all, and I thank you for having me as your guest. It was my pleasure, and you can call on me anytime, sweetie.
Oh, we will.
All right. And keep up the good work and keep asking those questions.
Okay.